Mercy and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is a special day in the church here. It is a day that we remember two of the probably most important apostles that are given in the New Testament. Peter and Paul. The same Peter of which our church's name stems from. And Paul, the author of most of the letters in the New Testament. Peter and Paul didn't always get along very well, but by the end of their ministries, they worked it out. And it makes sense that Peter would struggle a bit with Paul. Before his name was Paul, his name was Saul, and his job was to go around arresting Christians. He was a devout man of the Pharisees who believed so much of that faith that he was taught, faith that was instilled in him by his own father, faith of the true God. But Saul lived at a time where Jesus Christ, the Messiah, had now come. And at first, his heart was turned against this Messiah. And he believed that anybody who confessed this Messiah was a crackpot, a part of a cult, not a worshiper of the true God, and deserved to die. As Saul was on his way to Damascus, Jesus then comes to him. He knocks him down onto the ground and he says, "Stop it! Follow me." Saul then goes into town blinded by this grace, and he is given the word and the gospel. He is baptized, and the scales seem to fall off of his eyes that he might see that this Jesus is the true God. And now the same fervor that he had to round up Christians to be put to death is the same fervor that he uses to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Peter had many friends who were tormented by Paul, formerly Saul. But the reason that these two men share a day is because church tradition holds that they were both put to death on this day in the year AD 68. That Emperor Nero ordered both of these men to be executed for holding the Christian faith. St. Paul most likely would have been beheaded on this day because he was a Roman citizen. Whereas St. Peter, as many of you already know, refused to be killed in the same way as his Lord. And even though he went to a cross and was crucified, he was crucified upside down. That's why when you walk out of here today, you go through the holy hallway and you will see an upside down cross as a part of the shield of St. Peter. He knew he was not worthy to be put to death in the same way as his Lord and his God. St. Peter had given that beautiful confession that we heard this very night. When Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Simon, Peter, Cephas, all the same man, cry out, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's our confession too. We should have the boldness of St. Peter to confess that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. He is salvation. Paul also went to death for this confession. Peter and Paul are given by God to the church. Both of these men are apostles. The word apostle means sent one. Jesus sent Peter along with the others out in the Great Commission. He sends them out to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, to teach the faith, and to baptize. And Paul he sends out also especially to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 15, we see that there is some turmoil in the church, that those Pharisees, and if you remember, the Pharisees are that group who were very specific about the law. And they would torment Jesus with their questions. They cared more about following laws that they had added to the Word of God than actually loving God and serving their neighbors. And so these Pharisees, though, did convert. They heard the message that Jesus was the Christ, and they believed. But as Judaizers, they carried on a bit. And they proclaimed, as we heard, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." Circumcision is the old covenant. It is what Abraham was commanded to do by God to show that he was a part of this covenant with God Almighty. That on the eighth day, his sons for future generations would be circumcised. That this was an outward sign that they were believers in the promised Messiah. And so every God-fearing parent, when their boy turned 8 days old, had him circumcised according to God's command. So the question arises. These Jews had been circumcised. But by and large, as the message went out into all the world, all of these Gentiles who were not circumcised were brought to faith. And so the question was, what is to be done with these men? The Judaizers, the Pharisees, said that they must now be circumcised. Is it required still under the law? Or now is it faith in Jesus Christ that saves? And that is the question at the heart of what we see in Acts chapter 15. St. Paul says it is faith that saves, not the circumcision with hands. We will read later when he writes his letter to the Colossians, when he writes in chapter 2, "In him," that is Jesus, "you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." The law was still given by God. It is good and it is wise. But Paul argues, and Peter will argue with him, that we can't perfectly fulfill it. So for the Judaizers to say that now all of these Gentiles have to be circumcised in order to be saved, and that they must follow the word of God and his law perfectly in order to be saved, the church gathers in council in Jerusalem and says, it is enough to believe in Jesus. We cannot follow the law perfectly because we are sinners. Now, that doesn't mean that we cast off the law. That doesn't mean we live however we please according to the flesh. No, we still hear the word of God and we strive to follow it. But it cannot save us. Faith in Jesus Christ saves. So the old covenant of circumcision has now passed away. No longer a requirement for Christians. Now it is a circumcision rather of the heart. Baptism has replaced circumcision. In fact, throughout much of the church's history, many children were brought to the font on the eighth day, the same day that previously all sons had to be circumcised. Baptism has replaced circumcision. Thanks be to God. Baptism is how we identify ourselves now. Not by what we have or don't have, but by baptism, we are made children of the Most High. And so we hear this proclamation. "After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which was fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things." The Old Testament shows us very clearly that God set apart these people, these Jews, so that his name may go out into the world. He set apart Abraham and his seed so that at his proper time, he would send his son, born of the Virgin Mary. This son would be born to a Jew of that line of David. But even when you look at the genealogies of Jesus, you see that God was still working in the Gentiles, in the heathens of other nations. For he brought Rahab in. He brought Ruth in. And he worked through these Gentile women to be the Savior. And now that Christ has come, it is for the whole world. Just as it always had been. Now they would go out into the whole world and preach the word of Jesus Christ. Preach that he is the salvation. This I judge, that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. The law is written on your hearts. You are not to sacrifice to false gods. You are not to be impure in your flesh, but rather you are to lead a chaste and decent life. And so it is declared, faith in Jesus Christ is salvation. Faith in the fact that Jesus took the cross, that he nailed our impurities to that cross, and that on the third day he rose again. Faith in your baptism, which regenerates you daily. Faith that Jesus has given us his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. In this is salvation. And so the church sings, we praise you for St. Peter. We praise you for St. Paul. They taught both Jew and Gentile that Christ is all in all. To cross and sword they yielded and saw your kingdom come. O God, these two apostles reached life through martyrdom. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.